Hallelujah. Well, this month we've been focusing on vital signs of a healthy church. And something that we're going to talk about today is beholding Jesus. We become more like him and we are changed into his image as we behold him, the scripture says. So let's just look at that scripture. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. What a privilege to be in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. So let's just stand and we'll read this verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You can be seated. So this verse, the Lord used this verse to teach me because there was a time in my life that God just kept speaking to me, just look at me, Shannon. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at other things that are, you know, don't look at hurts. Don't look at people. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at, just look at me. And if those of you that don't know, I went to college and my major was psychology. And I, like in the past, like, no, if I'm upset, if there's things going on, I need to take it all out, lay it all on the table, you know, psychoanalyze it, figure it all out, you know. And it was like the Lord wouldn't let me do that. He kept saying, just look at me, Shannon, just look at me. And I was like, in a great woman of faith that I was like, but God, how is that going to fix anything? You know, that's kind of a simplistic answer in my mind. Just look at me. And how is that going to fix the situation? And how is that going to fix me? And how am I going to figure out how I need to respond to this and how I need to process and what I need to change and, you know, how I need to approach everything? And he just kept saying, look at me. And then he showed me this verse. And when he showed me this verse, I understood. A lot of times we spend so much time looking at the wrong things. We spend so much time looking at ourselves, looking inward. And, you know, I've learned that through experience and through a word that somebody gave me years ago. Self-reflection, when you are saying to God, search my heart, see if there is any wicked way in me. That's never a bad thing to allow God to search our heart. But let me tell you, God knows how to search your heart. And our problem as people is then we then take it to the next level. No, I need to search my, like, I need to figure all this out. I need, God, maybe you didn't see all of these things and maybe I haven't given you enough time. And so I'm just going to sit kind of like in the old school in sackcloth and ashes and just like for 3 days, just kind of hole up into this, all of these problems that I have. That is not the answer. Okay. Internalizing things is not the answer. As Christians, when we look at Jesus, he can see what's in your heart. Trust me. He doesn't have any problem seeing all the way to the depths of your soul, knowing every wrong motive, every wrong issue. So you don't have to spend, you know, a lot of time looking into yourself so that you can tell God, I have this problem and this problem and this problem. God already knows what problems you have. And he can show you how to deal with them. And this understanding came years ago when somebody said this, and I've shared this in individuals. I don't think I've ever shared it from the pulpit, but she came to me and she said to me, I have this picture. She said, and she said that God had actually used the same thing to give her an understanding of this. And she said, I had this picture of a little girl and she was in a cave and it was dark and she was dirty. And she said, and then I saw a picture of another girl that was on a swing and it was light, you know, and like she was happy. And she said to me, that is what self-evaluation looks like. The girl in the cave. When you just hole up into yourself, but I have all these problems and I need to fix myself and I just need to wallow in self-pity and in self-loathing and in self-fixing myself. Listen, as Christians, what we need to do is we need to look at the cross. We need to look at what Jesus already did at the cross. That is what sets us apart from the world. This is not a self-help book. This is not you take it and you pick out some things and you say, I am going to fix myself with this. It's not a formula to fix ourselves. It is a book that reveals the God that we serve and who loves us. Somebody said in the Sunday school this morning, I think it was Mike Lee, I don't remember for sure, but they said, you know, Job was asking all of these questions and God didn't answer his questions. He just revealed himself. And that's so true. We say, but God, what about this situation? And what about this drama? And what about this person and what they did to me? And what about myself and how I can't fix this? And what about all of these issues that I have? And God says, look at me. And we go, God, really? Like, that's your answer to every question? Is just look at me? Like, that's your answer to everything that I'm going through? Is just look at me? And when God showed me this verse, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is a partnership. When we come into relationship with Jesus and we surrender our lives to his lordship, we get relationship with the triune God. We get God the Father. We get Jesus, our Savior, who walks with us. We get the Holy Spirit who communes with us, who speaks to us, who opens the word to us and reveals to us. And so this says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, as we look at Jesus, we become transformed into his image. We become more like him. And so it's really something that it's one of those spiritual concepts that if you try to understand it logically and you go, well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, how am I going to get fixed by looking at Jesus? If you will learn to spend time in his presence, beholding him, and if you will make your life about focusing on him instead of focusing on yourself, instead of focusing on other people, what will happen is your perspective will begin to change as you see yourself and others and the circumstances through his eyes. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That scripture, if you read Psalms 32, it's so cool because you see how prophecy worked even in the Old Testament. David would go from praying himself to God speaking through him. And that's what you see in Psalm 32 is David is praying and then all of a sudden God starts speaking to David through David. Have you ever, if you walk with the Lord, I've had times and we were talking about this. I was talking with a friend this past week, how you will say something and even as you're saying it, you're like, that was good. Like, I didn't even know that until I said it. You know, like, how did I say that? Because I didn't even have that revelation until it came out of my mouth. That is what's awesome about walking with the Holy Spirit. When my heart and my mouth and my mind and my body is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, the Holy Spirit sometimes will just teach me as I'm speaking. And so that's what happened with David is God just spoke through him as he was praying. And God said, if you put up Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Looking from God's perspective changes everything. It changes all of our life because so many Christians, they take Christianity and they make it into a self-help. Like I see that I should be doing these things. I see that I should not be doing those things. And so I'm just going to do those things. That is not what Christianity is about. Listen, you can get self-help and learn how to deal with your anger in better ways and learn how to, you know, be more productive and learn how to be more organized. All of those apart from God. This is about relationship. It is about being in love with someone. It is about, that's why Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. And I remember when I studied that verse, I said to God, well, God, if I love you with everything that I have, like, I don't have any other love to give to anybody else. And this is what God showed me. When I love God with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my, literally all the love that I have goes to God. then God's love is then poured out through me to love other people. And his love is better. It's better because it's not selfish, and it loves people that I wouldn't love. My mom told me a story that at one point in their ministry, this girl was just difficult to deal with. This was years ago when I was young. And this girl, this teenage girl, she said she was so difficult to deal with. She said, and I saw her pull up into the driveway, and I thought, oh God, you have got to help me to love her. She said she came up to the door, and my mom said that she wrapped her arms around this girl. She said, I had so much love for her that I, like, love just enveloped her. Now, my mom is awesome. Okay. If you know her, she is the church Nana, and she's awesome, and she's got a lot of love, but that love was not her love. That was God Almighty loving this teenage girl through her. And if we will learn to behold Jesus, we will be able to love people that are unlovable. We'll be able to respond in love, even when we've been hurt, even when things have happened, even when we don't understand. Because his love loves through us, and it stops being about us. Because as Christians, we are to die to self. That's one thing that Jesus never made qualms about. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you've never thought about that statement in those days, taking up a cross was a terrible Roman execution piece. It wasn't like a beautiful symbol like we wear around our necks today. I mean, we have like lethal injection, electric chair. Imagine if Jesus said, take up your electric chair and walk with me. Not very pretty. I mean, we would not make it. None of us, I don't think, wear an electric chair around our neck, you know, because we don't think of that as a pretty thing. That is what the cross represented when Jesus died on it. In his day, I mean, it was serious, but his disciples loved him so much, and they walked in relationship. And listen, this is what I keep learning about the Christian life. When I look at Jesus and I continually make my life about him, when I don't feel it, like when I am having a day and I'm just in a funk and I don't feel Christian, I don't feel like I love my children or my husband or anybody. Like I just want to lay in bed and watch TV, you know, and eat chocolate chip cookies, preferably, you know, I mean, when I feel like that, it's not like, okay, I need to buck up. It's like, I need to focus on Jesus, because if I will look at him and say to God, God, I cannot do this by myself. I don't have enough love to love people. I'm not unselfish enough on my own, but God, I need you, and I want to focus on you, and I want to do life the way that you would have me to, but not apart from you, with you. I'm going to tell you something that you're probably going to laugh, and it's totally okay because it's kind of funny. I was looking up a clip yesterday, and Ezra came into the room because I was in Eden's room, and he heard the video that I was watching that I'm about to be vulnerable and tell you how God spoke to me one time. And he said, why are you watching that? Because I was looking for this clip because, okay, my kids, those of you that have children that are like Lydia and Josiah's age, because Lydia's 18 now because she's a grown woman. That's a whole nother story on its own. Okay. I just have to tell you, as I don't think she'll mind, the first day after her 18th birthday, I got a text from her first thing in the morning. Good morning, Shannon. Second text message, fellow grown woman. This is my daughter whom I love. Yes. She's so funny. Anyhow, she just keeps me in stitches, makes me laugh all the time. So, but we have used that many times to our advantage. Oh yeah, that's what grown people do, because you are a grown woman now. Anyhow, if you have children that age, my kids used to watch High School Musical. And if you don't know High School Musical, it's okay. You know, it's all right. Trust me. You can live your life without ever seeing the movie. But if you have seen it, there's a point in the first one that both of these two teenagers are coming from completely different worlds, and they're basically entering something that they have never done before. And when they get on stage to sing, one of them is a basketball star, the other one is like a scientist, and they get on stage to sing in a musical, which they have never done before. And when the music starts playing, Gabrielle just freezes. Like, he starts singing and she just freezes and the music is playing and all these people are watching. And she looks at him and she says, I can't do this. Not with all these people watching. And he says to her, just look at me. Just look at me. Remember, like kindergarten, because when they met, they were singing and they were singing and it was just the two of them. And they were in this like place, I don't know, in the school. Anyway, there was a time in my life when I was overwhelmed and I thought, God, I don't know how to do this. And God used a High School Musical reference. And I saw the picture of Troy looking at Gabriella saying, just look at me. And he said, just look at me, Shannon. That is the awesomeness of our God. Listen, he knows where you live. And he will use a High School Musical reference because he knows it will speak to you and you will understand it. And that's what he's done with me over and over. And so when he said, just look at me, Shannon, and he showed me that picture, I understood. And then when he gave me, if you put back up 2 Corinthians 3:18, when he gave me that verse and he said, Shannon, it was like a verse when God reveals it to you, you might not be able to preach a sermon on it of explanation, but it's like you know things in your heart. Like you understand things that you didn't understand before. And when God showed me this verse, it was like he was saying, rather than trying to take everything out and fix yourself, if you will look at me, I will fix you as you're looking at me. Because Jesus is perfect. He is perfect. He always responds perfectly. He knows everything. And so when God, what God was saying to me is, if you just look at me, I will transform you into my image. Listen, it's like no other relationship that we can understand on this earth, looking at God. So how do we do that? One way that we do that is worship. Worship, as we've said before, it is not some time that we allow people that have talent in music or in an instrument to play an instrument so that we could take up some time in the service. It is a time where together, as all of God's children, we focus our attention on the one who is worthy. Big Daddy Weave has a song called To My Audience of One. And I used to just play that song so loud in the sanctuary when I was praying, because it says, to my audience of one, you are Father and you are Son. And it is all about just the focus being on him. That is worship. Worship is, it is not just a song though. It is when you are going in your day and you say, God, you are so awesome. When you look at the tree and you go, how can that tree be so big? God, you are awesome. When we were studying Job in Sunday school this morning, in the part that Jimmy covered, talked about the behemoth. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But this huge creature. And God was using that to say, this creature that is so big, I made it. God is so much bigger than we realize. And when we begin to look at God and go, God, you are so awesome. You are so big. You are so faithful. That's worship. But what a privilege to do that in a group here. And that is one of the things that as a healthy church, my prayer this month, and I felt like it was one of those prayers that came from the Lord, is that everyone at Hidden Treasures would come up a level in their Christian walk. As Christians, we are ever to be growing to be more like Jesus. And worship is a part of that. Another way that we do that, I want to show you James 1. In James 1, verse 22 through 25. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, I have never connected these two verses before, but 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we just read says, beholding as in a glass. If you look that word up, it means looking in, like in a mirror, like looking in a mirror. So this is another place that we look in a mirror. And so it says, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Why do we do that? Because we will, if the Holy Spirit begins to show us things, when we come into the presence of Almighty God and God begins to reveal things to us, and if we don't become a doer and we don't take that to heart and allow it to change us like God is asking us to change, we will deceive ourselves. It is going to happen. The scripture says, if you are a hearer and not a doer, you will end up in deception. It is a natural byproduct of sin. It's an easy thing for us as fleshly people to fall into. And so it says, verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Because when we come into the presence of God and God begins to show us things, sometimes it's things about us that are awesome that we never understood before. Sometimes it's things about us that needs to change. Sometimes it's ways of wrong thinking, whatever it is. If we leave out and we don't make any steps to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that change in our lives, we will forget. We'll forget what God dealt with us about. We'll forget what type of person we are, because God will show us the reality when we're in his presence. Now, this is very important, because the enemy can lie to you even in your devotion time. I just want to tell you that. He is not immune to the prayer closet. Like, he's not afraid of coming in while you are trying to spend time with God. Okay? He will come and whisper thoughts in your mind. That's where you have to learn the character of God. As we walk with God, we learn to know when it's God and when it's not. I know this because at one point I remember God had given me specific instructions about how to handle a particular situation. And I was in my time of devotion, and as I'm like reading, I was like reading a devotion and, you know, reading the scripture, and all of these thoughts just started coming. And I started having this great idea of a way that I should respond in this situation that was different than what God had previously told me. And so I started going this. Well, thankfully, God is also there. So we can get so afraid of the enemy deceiving us that we just go, oh, I can't hear God, and I don't know which voice is God and which voice is the enemy. I quit. I give up. That's not the answer. Listen, the Bible says his sheep know his voice and another they won't follow. God is so merciful that, listen, you will learn if you will walk with him. Sometimes you'll learn because you'll take the wrong advice and you'll look back and go, yeah, that was the wrong advice. But the cool thing is, God is merciful even at those times. And he will show you, see, that wasn't me. And then you go, okay, click, click. Lord, help me to remember next time, and go, that wasn't you. And it's hard to do that. It's hard on the flesh. It's hard when you fall. It's hard when you fail. And it's easier to just go, I tried to do this. I give up. I can't do it. It's too hard. I can't hear God, and I don't know which voice is God's, and I don't want to try anymore. That's not the answer. You will miss out on some of the most precious revelations from the Holy Spirit if you do that. So what happened? I'm reading this. I'm having this great idea. If you don't know if something is God, and especially if it is contrary to what you've thought up until this point, shelf it. Do not act on it immediately, because second thing the enemy will do, he will tell you, do it right now. He's like a salesman. You need to do this right now, or you're going to miss your opportunity. Listen, if it really needs to be done, God can hold it. Like, he can give you another opportunity. So if you feel like the high pressure, order right now in the next 30 minutes. They don't want you to do any research. They don't want you to ask any friends if that pillow actually is good as it says it is. Like, they just want you to spend the money right now while your flesh is, you know. So don't respond. Shelf it. And that's what I did. I thought, well, we'll see. And I put it on the shelf, and that was like early Saturday morning. I came to practice, and I think it was during music practice, like during our prayer for music practice, it was like I realized this is completely contrary to what God has already told me to do. So it doesn't matter if it seems like a good idea and it seems like God, I'm not doing it. And so I didn't. And I saw afterwards, it definitely was not God. So we have to walk with God, and we have to let God deal with us when we're in his presence. And that's what I want to bring back. But you have to know that the enemy also will try to condemn you even in the presence of God. Usually what happens is when you're in the presence of God, God might show you, hey, that's a wrong attitude right there. You know, the enemy then will immediately come and say, see, why are you, look at, you've had this attitude all your life. You're always going to be that way. You're such a terrible Christian. Give it up. And you will come out of what started as conviction into condemnation. Like, oh my gosh, it's just easier not to even come into the presence of God because then I just feel so guilty. And at least I felt better before I came into church. You know, I mean, because why? Because we forget who we are. And like the enemy then steals all the growth from Christians. Learn to know the voice of God. I am telling you, God will clearly point out your sin, but he will also give you grace to change it. And if all you feel is this, like, this heaviness, then I promise you, unless now God will deal with us about our sin. He will show us our sin, but then he will provide a way out. He will show us, like, you can come out of this. You can change this. We can do this together. And if you will learn the character of God and learn to know God, you will help me. And if you will, at that point, rather than internalizing and do what I used to do, like, turn into this, like, oh, now I need to go into this self-searching for like 3 days and I need to feel guilty and I need to, you know, try to figure out all my drama and all my problems and all the ways that I need to fix myself. Don't do that. Look back at Jesus. When you feel conviction, like you realize, man, I really need to change this about me. Look at Jesus. Say to Jesus, Jesus, will you help me to change this? I'm going to focus not on myself, not on even the change that needs to happen. God, I repent. I submit to you. I say to you, I admit that this way of thinking or this that I said or this way that I responded was wrong. And God, I lay it before you. And then you leave it at the feet of Jesus and you look back at him. You don't walk in that. You walk looking at him. And so this continues. Verse 25, see, God always gives hope. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We have to continually make it about Jesus. Don't make it about yourself. And whether or not you're able, and if you've messed it in the past, and if you have the strength, and if you are, you know, spiritual enough, don't make it about you. Don't make it about other people. But all these other people don't have to do that. They don't, you know, they don't have to grow in their faith. They don't have to, you know, go to church. Don't make it about other people. Make it about Jesus. Focus your attention on him and read his word. And when you read his word, let God reveal, number one, himself, and number two, what he's saying to you. Because as we allow him to do that, he will change us into his image. And it is the most precious gift to walk with a Savior that loves you so much. This is the thing that I keep learning about walking with him, is that he knows us better than anyone else. Psalm 139. I love that psalm. As it talks about, before a word is on my tongue, he already knows it. He knows me that well. And yet he loves me deeper and stronger and wider than anybody else. And as I learn to find myself in the love of Jesus and in what he has already done for me on the cross, then I have hope to keep walking the Christian life. If I make it about me, I will fall. I will get discouraged and I will fail. But if I make it about him, then he is always worthy. So put that verse back up again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you really don't understand, so looking at Jesus, I just want to say this. Number one comes through worship, through focusing your attention. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who started the work in you. He is the one who completed it, if you will walk with him and allow him to. But if you have never done this before, so walking with the Lord, looking at Jesus, I wanted to finish that, is one, looking at him, two, looking in his word and allowing his word to look into you. If you will, when you read the Bible, instead of going, okay, I need to read a chapter because it's what I'm supposed to do as a good Christian. If you will open it and say, God Almighty, your word says that all scripture was given to reprove, to correct, to instruct, to teach. It's given for all of God, whatever. Let me see you as I read this. And God, would you show me what I need to see? So we're going to end. We're still going to be up here if you need prayer, but I just want to give you a chance. For some of you, this might be a new thing to just really learn how to look at Jesus and focus on him. And so we're going to play a song, and I just challenge you, just spin this song, and it's kind of a long song, but I'm done preaching, so it's okay. We can hang for another 8 minutes. You know, just let this song, and as this song plays, if you don't need prayer, if you need prayer, if you haven't come into relationship with Jesus, surrender your life to him. You can even do it right now as the song plays, but then come up and let us talk to you. Let us give you some resources. Let us help you walk this walk. But as this song plays, it's called Lean Back. Just focus on beholding Jesus.